The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 7, text number 21. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on September 29th, 2010, in Vrindavan, India.
So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, text number 21.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta shradhayarchitam mitchati tasyachalang shradham tameva vidadham yaham yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta Shradhayarchitam itchati tasya tasya chalang shradham tameva vidadham yaham.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. I am in everyone's heart as the Supersoul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. God has given independence to everyone. Therefore, if a person desires to have material enjoyment and wants very sincerely to have such facilities from the material demigods, the Supreme Lord is Supersoul in everyone's heart, understands and gives facility to such persons. As the Supreme Father of all living entities, he does not interfere with their independence, but gives all facilities so that they can fulfill their material desires. Some may ask why the all-powerful Lord gives facilities to the living entities for enjoying this material world, and so lets them fall into the trap of the illusory energy. The answer is that if the Supreme Lord of Supersoul does not give such facilities, then there is no meaning to independence. Therefore, he gives everyone full independence, whatever one likes. But his ultimate instruction we find in the Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and fully surrender unto him. That will make man happy. Both the living entity and the demigods are subordinate to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the living entity cannot worship the demigod by his own desire, nor can the demigod bestow any benediction without the Supreme Will. As it is said, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally, persons who are distressed in the material world go to the demigods, as they are advised in the Vedic literature. A person wanting some particular thing may worship such and such a demigod. For example, the diseased man is recommended to worship the sun god. A person wanting education may worship the goddess of learning, Sarasvati. And a person wanting a beautiful wife may worship the goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. In this way, there are recommendations in the Shastras, Vedic scriptures, for different modes of worship of different demigods. And because a particular living entity wants to enjoy a particular material facility, the Lord inspires him with a strong desire to achieve that benediction from that particular demigod. And so he successfully receives the benediction. The particular mode of the devotional attitude of the living entity toward a particular type of demigod is also arranged by the Supreme Lord. The demigods cannot infuse the living entities with such an affinity because he is the Supreme Lord of the Super Soul who is present in the hearts of all living entities. Krishna gives impetus to man to worship certain demigods. The demigods are actually different parts of the universal body of the Supreme Lord, and therefore they have no independence. In the Vedic literature it is stated, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his Super Soul, is also present within the heart of the demigod, and therefore he arranges through the demigod to fulfill the desire of the living entity. But both the demigod and the living entity are dependent on the Supreme Will. They are not independent.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Dara Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatandrita Tamsaji Sajaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha
So this is the kindness of Krishna. He gives the living entities the impetus to try to enjoy this material world if that's what they want. He gives it to them. Many people ask me, they say, why God doesn't just force us to stay in the spiritual world? If he was really kind, he would force us to stay in the spiritual world. But is that kindness? It's like a parent saying, well, I'm going to make sure my child does not get into trouble. I will handcuff him to the bed for his whole life. Make sure he never gets in any trouble. No. Love means you give freedom to that person you love. That is love. So Krishna is so loving. He is so liberal. He will even infuse you with devotion to a particular god other than him. The Shivites, the Durga people, the Sai Baba people, you know, oh, so many people worshipping bona fide demigods or bogus gurus. But that's all by Krishna's arrangement. He's facilitating. Krishna is really the most amazing person you could ever imagine. I mean, there's nobody like Krishna. Inconceivable person. You can't ever really fully figure him out. It's just, and he is in unlimited depth of his personality. So he reveals something of himself here in the Bhagavad Gita. So we can try to learn and understand, even though we are not demigod worshippers. we can study Krishna's explanation and try to understand something of the magnanimity of this great person who is all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous. Which of these opulences is this one here? His renunciation. Krishna is showing he's the most renounced person of them all. His own beloved children, if they want to turn against him, all right, he gives full facility. You want to be an atheist? You want to become a follower of Stephen Hawking's? All right, go ahead. 10 million books he sold. He says that the universe comes out of absolutely nothing. That is his great scientific discovery. But I ask you, is that scientific? Science means observation and experiment, isn't it? The scientists, they do some experiments, they make observation, they collect data, and they analyze all the data, and they make one theory which explains the data. So where is the data of, where is the scientific experiment where they took nothing and they produced something? Has any scientist ever done that? Taken nothing and gotten something out of nothing? Not even one experiment have they demonstrated that something can come out of nothing. Can you take an empty pot and turn it into a pot full of popcorn? No, you need the kernels and some heat. And then the corn will come popping out. Pop, pop, pop. Show me someone who can make a pot of popcorn without any kernels. Kernels are required.
Without a pot.
Huh? Some heat has to be there and the kernels have to be there. That is a fact. So no scientist has ever demonstrated that something has come out of, that anything has ever come out of nothing, but yet the so-called big scientist, they say, is the biggest brain of the modern age. He wants us to believe that this universe comes out of, he says, absolutely nothing. And they call him scientist. His name is Stephen Hawking. They call him Stephen He Hawkings. Hee-haw, hee-haw. Like ask, you see. Actually, as a person, I respect his tenacity. A person who can't even move. All he moves is cheek. He's writing so many books. I admire his tenacity. But the poor fellow just doesn't have the right philosophy. That's the problem. The poor fellow has the wrong philosophy. But he's actually in some ways, a great hero. He can write all these books by moving his cheek. He's amazing tenacity he has. But he doesn't have the right philosophy. That's the problem, you see. So people worship Stephen Hawking. They worship, rocks and stars, movie stars, cricket stars. People they glorify, they admire, they spend huge money to go to these games. Like now they're having the Commonwealth Games here. You see? So they make a hero out of some insignificant person. You see? Oh, you're the greatest athlete. You see? And they feel very happy. We will worship you as the greatest athlete. So this is all by Krishna's facility. And what can we learn from this tendency? The tendency is there within everyone to want to worship a superior person. That's a thing. Everyone has that natural tendency. So if we do not repose that tendency in the Supreme Lord, we will repose it in some inferior person, a demigod or a scientist. Like that. So the intelligent person thinks, if I have this tendency to give devotion to someone, why don't I find that person where I will get the greatest result? You see, this is intelligence. So that is the Krishna consciousness movement. We are giving the information. Where is that person, or who is that person to whom you can give your devotion and get the greatest result? You see. Is there any demigod you can worship to become immortal? Hiranyakashipu thought he could get it from Brahmaji. Even though Brahmaji said, no, I can't give it to you, he thought he would outsmart Brahmaji. He thought he was more intelligent than Brahmaji with his four heads. He thought his one head had a bigger brain than Brahmaji's forehead. His head with his four brains. But he was wrong, you see. Why? Because Brahmaji was on Krishna's side. And Krishna gave Brahmaji the intelligence how to defeat this rascal. So if one will simply take shelter of that Supreme Person, that wonderful, wonderful, beautiful person, Krishna, and Krishna will bestow all intelligence. Sarvashyataham hridi sanavishto mataksmatir jnanam apohanam cha. He will give all intelligence, all remembrance, everything you need to have the most ecstatic life you could ever imagine, or beyond what you could imagine. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means pure, unadulterated bliss. That is Krishna consciousness. So we can judge how Krishna conscious we are. How much do I experience pure, unadulterated bliss? Well, sometimes it's pretty tough. Sometimes I don't feel that pure undiluted bliss. You see, we can analyze. So therefore, I'm not completely purified yet. And I got a ways to go yet. You see. We can honestly analyze our position. How much we're tasting pure unlimited nectar at every minute. And how much we're struggling with the six senses, which include the mind. You see. You don't need some external certificate to understand what is your position of advancement, a Bhakti Shastri certificate, a danda, some title, some position. No. You can judge your own Krishna consciousness by the standards set in the Bhagavatam. Bhakti Parishanu Bhava Bharaktir Anyatatrai Shatrika Eka Kalaha Prapadyama Nashriyatasna Nasush Tushti Pushti Chodapayo Nagasam. Three things are mentioned. Bhakti, devotion or love. How much do you feel love for Krishna? How much do you feel love for the holy name? How much does your heart melt when you see the deity? You go, oh, you see, how much does that happen within the heart? You see, that's bhakti. How much your heart melts when you see a devotee? Oh, a devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, just by hearing the madanga, he would go into ecstasy, hearing the beating of the madanga, you see. Ah, that's Prabhupada said Lord Chaitanya designed this madanga that we have. It's a very special instrument. It's designed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, you see. So, that is the first item. You feel bhakti. And the second item, Pureshanu Bhavo, you experience Krishna within everything. So actually Krishna is there. Krishna is omnipresent. Krishna is within every sight. Krishna is within every sound. He's within every smell, within every taste, within every touch, everything. Krishna is present everywhere, you see. So how much do you contact Krishna in everything that you see, everything you hear, everything you smell, everything you taste, and everything you feel? How much are you connecting with Krishna, you see? Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 30, Yomang Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamai Pashyati Tashyaham Na Pranashyami Satchamena Pranashyati. From one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So the more we become conscious of Krishna within everything. And when I first met Prabhupada, this is what he was telling us. When I first had the great opportunity to be in the physical presence of his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharja Astatarasajishishimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. The first time I laid my eyes in Prabhupada and heard him say some words, you see, was the Ratha Yatra, 1971 Ratha Yatra in San Francisco. Oh, was that sweet. Ooh, it was so sweet. And Prabhupada told us, he said, every day you are drinking water. That reminds me. Once, twice, thrice, more than that. He said, if every time you drink water, you will remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. He said, to become Krishna conscious, it is not a difficult job, simply it requires practice. So actually Krishna is there, you see, in the taste of water, he's the sound and ether, he's the light of the sun and the moon. Show me anywhere where Krishna is not there, you see. We simply have to learn how to connect with Krishna in everything, you see. That is the second item. And the third item, viraktir, detachment from all forms of material sense gratification. So that's natural. If you have love of Krishna, and because you love him so much, you're experiencing him everywhere. Oh, I can feel how Krishna is present, you see. Of course, the even sweeter mood is the mood of the Goswamis, and that's what we hanker for. That mood of, I want to feel how Krishna is present, but I'm not there yet. You see. Hey Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalalitehi Nandasunu Kutaha. Where are you? The Goswamis are wandering all over Braj. Where are you, Krishna? Where are you, son of Maharaj Nanda? Hey Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalalitehi Nandasunu Kutaha. Where are you, Lalita? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? You see. That is the strongest feeling of love. To be separated from your beloved, hankering to be met. Actually, Prabhupada told the Beatles that you should write songs of separation from Krishna. Only George took up that instruction. And he got a number one hit, My Sweet Lord. He said, I really want to see you, my Lord, but it takes so long. I really want to be with you. I want to see you, but it takes so long, my Lord. You see. So this hankering, la-lam, you see, this intense greediness that I must see Krishna. Somehow I must see Krishna, you see. This is the mood of the Gaur Goswamis, you see. We are in that line. We are in the Shad Goswami Marg. In this Marg, we're not saying, oh, Prabhu, yes, I saw Krishna last night. He's playing his flute. And that is not our mood, you see. Our mood is, where is Krishna? When will I see him? When will I get over this lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, which is torturing me at every minute, you see? That is our mood. That is our mood. So, in this way, feeling this emotion of wanting to be with our Krishna once again, to actually see that's the sweetest, most beautiful person in all of existence. To be able to see him with our own eyes. You see, that intense desire to want to see Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada ordered me like that. He wrote me one letter, and he said, Now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. The direct order. Prabhupada, only by your mercy. Please, Prabhupada, your mercy. Give me your mercy. I can follow that instruction. You see. I can successfully follow that instruction. So in this way, if we become totally engrossed in this desire, you see, to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, there will be so much nectar in that hankering, you see. It's like that boy, he's hankering to see his long-lost girlfriend. She's coming back soon. He's always thinking about her. He sees any other girl he sees her, doesn't even think a second thought. He's just thinking about his girlfriend. All of his thoughts are there. So in this way, the devotee, he's just... there's nothing beautiful for him except for Krishna. Nothing beautiful except for Krishna. So in this way, material sense gratification doesn't attract him. Viraktir. He's completely detached. Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna vadarvinde Navanavarasadamanu yattarantumasit Dhavadi Bhattanari Sangamesma Yamane Bhavati Mukushushtu Nishtivanamcha. This is a beautiful prayer of Jamunacharya Albandru of South India. Formerly, he was king, enjoying so much sense gratification. But now he's become devotee. And he is saying, I'm getting nava nava rasa. Oh, newer and newer taste. Every day it's getting sweeter, 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 sweeter. So the thought of sense gratification, namely sex pleasure, comes into my brain. My lips curl and I spit at the thought, you see. So Bhagavatam said that these three things, love, experiencing Krishna within everything, and being detached from all forms of material sense gratification, occurs simultaneously in the heart of one who has seriously taken the path of bhakti, bhakti marg. And Bhagavatam compares it, he says, just like satisfaction of the tongue, eradication of hunger, and nourishment occur increasingly with each bite, from one who is engaged in the process known as eating. So we all eat, don't we? Does anybody here not eat? Of course, we don't really eat. We honor prasadam. That's a little different. We're not like a dog, you know, or a pig. We honor prasadam. But it is a form of eating. It is transcendental eating, you see. So we also eat. So just from our own eating, we can analyze and understand how to see if bhakti is becoming awakened in the heart. We have to see that bhakti is becoming awakened within our hearts. We have to see them. Because if we're not seeing it, that means we're doing something wrong. We're not properly applying the process of Krishna consciousness. If we are not getting tangible awakening of bhakti. So, just as we can analyze our own belly, if it is getting filled up, we can analyze our own consciousness also. Am I truly becoming Krishna conscious? Maybe I'm being recognized by the devotees. That's all right. The Prabhu, we appreciate your service, etc., etc. That's good. But if that's all you have is external recognition and you don't actually feel that awakening within, how long will you last? We have big devotees who are recognized as the greatest leaders of our movement. Now they won't even chant Hare Krishna. Is it? They won't even say Hare Krishna. So we have to see that I'm getting that awakening of Krishna consciousness within the heart. We, each and one of us, has to see that I am getting that awakening of Krishna consciousness within my heart. That's our duty. I must see that I'm becoming Krishna conscious. So, I can ask if there's any questions, and who will be my hearing aid? Can you be a good hearing aid? I have physical hearing aid. Somebody whispers in my ear, but because I can't hear what they're doing. So he'll be my hearing aid. This is 7:21. Oh, which Bhagavatam? Oh, I don't know, but I can. The one, the Bhakti Pareshani Bhavavarakti? I don't know. Does anybody know? If not, I will give me your email address and I'll email it to you. Pam, yeah, I have your email address. Yeah, I'll send the verse to your Pamho account. No problem. It's a wonderful sloka. Oh, I love it. I mean, we all like prasadam. I mean, so it's the same thing. If you can eat, you can advance in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Next question. No, for everyone else, they can hear. I just for everyone else's sake, he can use the mic. Yeah, go ahead, Prabhu.
Prabhupada Das Prabhu, he once said in the class that Prabhupada said to him that if you don't forget Krishna when you are in trouble, then you are a real devotee. So, but we see that means I'm saying my life also. As you said, the last point was very important, and we are just getting some external recognition. So, but when real problems come, then we fail to,
Remember Krishna.
Yeah, remember Krishna.
So you want to know how to always remember Krishna?
Pardon?
What is your question then? How to always remember Krishna?
Yeah, how to be a real devotee? As Prabhupada said, that if you are a real devotee, then you will not forget Krishna.
All right.
Even in the most...
All right, so the question is, go ahead and stay here. I lucked out on that one. So how do I become a devotee who never forgets Krishna for even a moment and always remembers Krishna? Well, as Krishna says in the verse I cited earlier, I am the source of knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. That the ability to remember Krishna constantly comes from Krishna. So since it's coming from him, who has the power to give it to us? Krishna then. So, you know what we could do? We could ask him. My dear Lord Krishna, I would like to always remember you. Because I know this will please you, this will please my spiritual master, this will please Srila Prabhupada. This is what I need to do. This is my duty. I know I need to do this. So kindly bless me, my dear Lord Krishna, that I can always remember you in all times, all places, and all circumstances. Please, Krishna, please, 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 Krishna. I beg you, please. Prabhu, if you fell off the edge of a cliff, and on the way over, you grabbed on some branches. And you knew there were some people up on the top of the cliff. You could hear them talking up there. They couldn't see you because you're over the edge. But some people came along the trail. They were walking there. With how much intensity would you call out for help? You understand? I'm not going to do it because it'll hurt my ears. But, you get the idea, They'd be yelling, help me, I'm over the edge of the cliff hanging on this branch, please save me. So you'd be calling out for life because there's a big, it's certain death. You let go of that branch and your arms you're getting really tired of holding onto that branch. You're struggling to hold on and you know you're going to lose your grips pretty soon if somebody doesn't rescue you pretty soon. So how intensely would you call for help? So that is our position. So how intensely we should beg Krishna to save us. You see. Beg, my dear Lord, please, please, bless me, I'll never forget you. Please, Krishna. I've tried to be your devotee now for so many years, but I keep forgetting you, Krishna. I keep thinking about my tongue. I keep thinking about my sleeping, my eating, so many things. Lord, my prestige in the society of devotees, like so many things I get distracted by, my Lord. please bless me. Just give me one boon. That's all I ask for, Krishna, that I will never, ever forget you, not even for a nanosecond. You see? If you will intensely petition Krishna in that way, every day, I guarantee you he will reciprocate with you. And you'll be amazed at the result. How your consciousness will be changed. You'll be absolutely amazed. Wow. I knew Krishna consciousness was sweet, but I never dreamed it was this sweet. Next question. Yes, Prabhu. Be ready. I might not be able to.
Sankrishna Prabhu?
Yeah, not so loud. Yeah,
Sankrishna Prabhu?
Yeah.
You have such sweet love. As we're talking about demigod, Prabhupada used to say that there will appear in Krishna consciousness movement in the third generation. So that's a good thing also. Just like Brahma is considered as Haridas Thakur.
Now, let's stop for a minute. What did he say so far? Didn't follow it either. Prabhu, come here. You come here and tell me in my ear. That's easier. You come and tell me. You come here and tell me in my ear. That'll be easier. Yeah, that'll be easier. You move aside. Yeah. What can I do with the bad ears? You know, the hearing aids don't work well for me. Okay, go ahead and tell me.
Third generation, as Prabhupada mentioned, the demigods are going to appear in this Krishna consciousness movement.
Do I think that
third generation, the demigods may appear in the Krishna consciousness movement, as Prabhupada used to mention?
Yeah, I can say that. He's saying
what's he saying?
Prabhupada said that the third generation
will be so pure that they can...
The third generation is the demigods who will appear in Krishna consciousness.
The third generation will be the demigods. The third generation devotees will be so pure the demigods will be taking birth in our movement. Well, Prabhu, it could be happening in certain families. So don't offend any Vaishnavas. You never know who's out there. I mean, it's amazing. If one little child that was born two of my disciples in Texas, a little boy named Kirtan, he's absolutely amazing. I mean, there's no telling who he was in his last life. Amazing little child. So you don't know who's out there getting ready to join by taking birth. So just treat everyone as a great personality and you'll be safe. You never know who they are. You know, a little child, a Mataji, you know, some illiterate person, some wealthy person. You have no idea who are the great personalities are. They just treat everyone as a great personality and you'll be in a good position. And if you do that, the great personality, if we, all of us do that, the great personality more attracted to take birth in this movement, not so. If we treat everybody in this movement as a great personality, the really great personalities will be more attracted to come and help us out. We need their help to take over the world for Prabhupada. Our mission is world domination, Prabhu. We need all the help we can get. We need great powerful leaders, great pure devotees. So let's treat everyone in this movement as a great personality. Yes?
And if we treat everyone as a great personality, they will all come up to the mark a lot faster also.
How?
Can
we?
Treat every great person as great personality.
Yeah.
So they will come up first.
Oh, you're making a comment. Yeah, that's a fact. We should encourage everyone. Everyone is my Prabhu, my master, you see. The Matajis are my Prabhus, the Prabhus are my Prabhus. You see, everyone is my Prabhu, my master. Every devotee is my master. Even a little ant is my Prabhu. I don't want to hurt him, you see, when I offer my obeisances. A little ant is my Prabhu, you see. Everyone is my Prabhu.
In the battlefield, Lord Krishna told Arjuna that attachment is the cause of misery.
Further away from the mouth.
So, how we can detach with the materialist world? How can we get detached?
How can we get detached? Detached.
How can we get detached?
From who?
From this material world.
Oh, it's very simple, Mataji. The way to get detached from the material world is become attached to Krishna and everything related with Krishna. You must be attached. Your nature is to be attached. So don't try to detach yourself. That is artificial. That's what Vishwamitamuni tried to do. He tried to detach himself. Was he successful? No. As soon as Indradev sent Menaka, his detachment finished. So instead of trying to cultivate detachment, just cultivate attachment. You see. Become attached to the name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Become attached to the deities. Become attached to your service. Become attached to saving the fallen conditioned souls. Become attached to pleasing Srila Prabhupada. Become attached to pleasing your spiritual master. Become attached to pleasing the devotees. You see, you should become very, very attached. And that's the key. We simply have to shift our attachment to spiritual side. That's it. And then automatically we'll be detached. Is that clear? Yeah.
It is said that once we reach Krishna in this lifetime, we will never come back again to this material world.
Yes.
Because we have undergone so many sufferings in this world. But will we remember, after we reach Krishna, will we be remembering all these miseries and sufferings?
Remember what?
Will we be remembering the sufferings and that we are going to?
Prabhupada, there's a letter in the other room there. They put a letter every morning from Prabhupada. Yeah, I remember one day there was a letter. It's in the Veda base also. Prabhupada says that if you go back to God and you remember your experiences in the material world. So, we'll even remember this class tonight. You know, remember every experience. And the beauty of it is there are wish-fulfilling desires trees in the spiritual world. That means if you desire to be able to see Prabhupada when he got off the boat in Boston Harbor, you can actually see him. You go back to God. Wow, just imagine. Everything is accessible. Nothing is inaccessible. So, just go back as soon as you can. The nectar is awaiting you. Don't tarry in this material existence. All right, but we're actually getting overtime, and I don't want to tie everybody up from their next program. I was told to end it. I'm already 5 minutes in trouble, in hot water right now. In some temples I get in trouble if I go over time. I mean, I get chastised by the temple president if I go over time. Sankarshan Prabhu, I told you we end at 9 a.m. Get in trouble. Depends on the temple, you know. But if there's no questions, I can go ahead and... Huh?
But Stephen Hawkins?
Yeah. Comment or a question?
No, this is a question. So why we think that it's wrong? It's really coming from Krishna, what he is doing. So why we think that what he is doing is wrong?
He says that everything comes out of absolutely nothing, and that's not true. It comes from Krishna. Krishna is not absolutely nothing.
But
It does. Well, we can entertain the idea comes out of nothing. It doesn't come out of nothing. It comes from Krishna. Everything, aham savasya prabhavama tak sarvam pravartita. Is Krishna absolutely nothing? No.
Then also Krishna says in 15:15.
Huh?
Krishna also says in 15:15, if he wants to forget, he wants to forget.
Yeah, but you can imagine that that's simply an imagination. Krishna gives them the ability to make sophisticated arguments to so-called prove that everything comes out of nothing. That's Krishna's a kindness upon them because they want forgetfulness. He says, I'll give you very sophisticated forgetfulness. But does that mean it's true? No.
No, I didn't say it's true. So why don't we appreciate the other that is Krishna and energy?
Well, I appreciate him very much. He's a very slick word juggler. I mean, if we could become that expert in presenting Krishna conscious philosophy to attract 10 million people to buy our books, that'd be great. I mean, I have nothing wrong with his. I appreciate his expertise. He's just using it for the wrong purpose. I mean, I'd love to make him a devotee. You know, he'd be our most powerful preacher from his wheelchair. You know.
A few purports ago, Prabhupada was discussing Maya Aparita, and how these people are so overwhelmed by material energy. They create all kinds of fraudulent philosophies. Just sound sophisticated, but they're completely fraudulent.
Dr. Frog. Ribbit. My well is the biggest well of water in the whole world. Ribbit. Until little Freddy Frog, he went out exploring and he found the Atlantic Ocean and he came back. Dr. Frog, guess what? There's a body of water much bigger than your well, Dr. Frog. Are you crazy? That's impossible. My body of water is the biggest body of water in the whole world. Everyone knows that. I'm Dr. Frog. And my well is the biggest body of water in all of existence. Who are you, you impertinent little whippersnapper? But Dr. Frog, no, it's huge. It's much bigger. Is it this much bigger? No, Dr. Frog, it's much bigger than that. Is this much bigger? Is it that much? No, it's much bigger. Finished. Okay. We thank you all very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Bhavavada Ki Jai.